Today's show is a barn burner. If you've got to get a drink of water, go do it now. And even if you've got to go to the bathroom, you might want to do it right away. You don't want to miss a second of this show. We're going to talk to two ladies who founded a company, Blamtastic, from Atlanta. Renee Sandler and her daughter, Lily Sandler. If you are a mom with young girls or young boys, and you would like to inspire them to one day own their business, or better yet, how about working side by side with them in a business that you co-founded? This is an amazing story. Stick around. I'm Monty Brewer, and this is Start It Up. It's not every day that I get to say Blamtastic, so you'll have to indulge me today because I'll probably use it every opportunity that I can. Today, I'm so excited because we have two of the founders of Blamtastic. We have 16-year-old Lily Sandler and her mom, Renee Sandler, with us today. How are y'all doing?
We're great.
Doing well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, you're here for Mad, Bad, and Dangerous that took place last weekend at GPS.
We are excited to be here.
Now, your company was founded, I think, 8 years ago. And as I understand the story, Renee, you read in the Wall Street Journal that there was some teeny tiny percentage of Fortune 500 companies that had female CEOs.
That's right, I did. And I have to say, it was a wake-up call for me. Of course, I worked in the corporate world for many years, and I saw, you know, what was going on with women in the workplace, you know, front and center. But when I saw that in writing, I had an emotional experience. I thought about my daughters. And I thought, I have a 9 and 10-year-old here, and someday they're going to go out into that workforce, and they're going to sit at a desk, and they're going to ask for a promotion. Are they going to be limited because of their gender? And it just, I can't explain it, it just sparked me. And I decided I had to take some action.
Now, Lily, what did you think when your mom came home and said, girls, because I think she was talking to you and your sister Melanie, she said, now, I've got an idea. I want you girls to come up with a business that we can start. What was your reaction to that?
I'd say my first reaction was not a very emotional one. I mean, I was very excited to start a business, but I don't think I realized the magnitude of what this would turn into at the time. It was really just a fun experiment in the kitchen at first, but it's really evolved into this insane business that we never expected. So while I was excited and super pumped to start a business, until later, in hindsight, it's now that I really see what it was all about.
Tell me about Blamtastic. What is it and what products do you make?
Blamtastic is a personal care company. And so we make a wide variety of family lifestyle products, everything from baby products to body care products to facial care products to lip balm. So we really do make a wide variety of incredibly well-sourced natural products.
Was this your first idea, or did you start with the lemonade stand and sort of progress from there till you got to a full line of cosmetics?
I can say prior to Blamtastic, I did start my share of lemonade stands on the side of the road. But after that, once we started with Blamtastic, we did start by cooking lip balm in our kitchen specifically. But in the past few years, we've greatly expanded that into our other product lines.
Now, Renee, you had this idea and you had this spark, but were you expecting it to really take off the way that it did?
Of course not. I didn't even think they would take me up on the invitation to start a business. So the fact that they came into me and said, hey, I think this is a great idea, I thought, uh-oh, what do I do now? But I realized that, you know, just the experience of trying something is so valuable at that age. Just to get your feet wet, just experiment, explore, try new things. This was, again, something we've never done before. Just the experience of, you know, what will we do and how are we going to do it and what kind of plan can we develop and how are we going to execute? So there are so many elements to that process that are valuable. And through the entire thing, at the end, you're going to realize you loved a lot of it, you didn't like some of it, you were good at some of it, and you weren't so great at the other parts. But all of those things are incredibly valuable in developing your interests and understanding who you are as a human being and how you're going to do what you're meant to do on this earth.
Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, says that without sales, you don't have a company. All you have is a hobby. So when you were sitting around the kitchen table with this incredible lip balm, how did you create a plan to take it from the kitchen to the marketplace?
It was a long process. We intentionally, when we realized there was such an attraction to the product that we created, because it was a very high-quality natural product, we realized that we had to come up with a real plan for how we were going to develop and grow this business. So we went from starting as an experiment and a hobby, and it soon and very quickly became something entirely different. So we had to have a sit-down meeting and say, all right, we clearly have an opportunity at hand here. What do we need to do to prepare ourselves and to assemble a team to properly execute and grow the business? And as you said, sell, sell, sell. You know, that's a real big, really big part of you just have to have sales and you have to have revenue in order to grow your business.
Lily, can you tell me about your first sale? Who did you sell to and what did it feel like?
I don't think I can really remember my first sale. I can remember many instances in which I was selling. I know we started out at the school fair where we would just we set up a stand and we would sell to all the people at the school fair. And then after that, we started selling at a kiosk in the mall for a weekend. And we, you know, really got a sense of who our target market, what market was, and who we'd be selling to and what it would be like. And from there, I can remember selling at trade shows where retailers would walk around and we would present our product. So I'd say my clearest memories of really, I guess, selling my product would be at the trade shows where I really got a grip on what a real sales pitch is and how you can really convey to people how great your product is and just make that sale, close the deal.
After the break, Renee Sandler and Lily Sandler of Blamtastic, a great, great story. I'm Monty Brule, and you're listening to Start It Up.
We will respond to your questions, so follow us on Twitter at StartItUpGuru. Visit our website, startitup.guru, for more information.
Support comes from HR Business Solutions. For more than 10 years, Lynn Talbot and her team of QuickBooks Pro Advisors have helped new business owners set up all phases of their bookkeeping systems. Located in the Business Development Center, HR Business Solutions provides bookkeeping management and coaching on all bookkeeping platforms to owners and their staffs. Learn more at hrbizsolutions.net.
Is there one lesson that you can think of that you'd like to share that was probably the most important thing that you've learned?
I'd say the most important thing that I've learned at this business is never to give up on something that you're really passionate about, because if you really feel strongly about something, there will be people every step of the way who are stumbling blocks and who are going to tell you that you can't do whatever you want to do. And if you know in your heart that what you're doing is the right thing and that you are good at something and that you want to achieve something, then you should never listen to those people, because chances are you're going to be able to do it in the end.
What we've heard over and over again at Start It Up is that the number one thing that keeps people from starting their own business is just pure fear. They're afraid to do it. And I think it's wonderful that you as a mom came in and you sort of removed that a little bit. You were able to say, hey, girls, this is what I think you can do, and you've got my support.
Yes, and you are so right. Fear is the biggest obstacle for most, you know, potential entrepreneurs, because so many people dream about being their own boss or living a lifestyle doing what they love to do. But they have that fear factor that just doesn't leave them. And I will say there was a lot of fear on my part so going through this process, because it was a new experience for me too. But the end game was so important to me, which was to empower the girls to just think big. And I knew that win, lose, draw, however it worked out, we had to see this experiment through to the end. And thank goodness we did that and we didn't give up because we're sitting pretty right now.
How were you able to capitalize the business and the growth that you experienced? Did that create a little trepidation on your part?
Sure. I think, you know, again, as we went through our growing pains, if you will, in the business and saw the potential, we knew that we had to capitalize the business. We had to prepare for mass retail because that's where we were heading. And it takes a lot of preparation. It's a very different business than, you know, pursuing a specialty business. So it took a lot of building of the infrastructure and the team. We had to assemble the proper team. But capital, that was the biggest challenge we faced. And we learned it's a dirty business, entrepreneurship and women, I will tell you. It is a challenge for women to gain capital for their businesses, despite being excellent leaders and creating incredibly profitable businesses. And I think additionally, we started at the beginning of the recession. So there was a really ugly period there for lenders where it just wasn't happening. So we had a double whammy. We just couldn't get capital for the business.
Who was that angel who saw the benefit in what you were doing and who finally said, you know what, I want to back this venture?
Women. Women were the first ones to step up. We have a number of women, female investors who were passionate about what we were doing. And that was the beginning of our investment pool. We have just passionate ladies who say, go get them. And they wanted to get behind us and help us maximize our potential. So we now have a traditional supporter. We have a traditional bank. So now we do have a more traditional, backbone financially. But we still have our investors, and they're still there supporting us.
How long was it before you got that traditional capital from the bank?
What month is this? It was January.
Oh, okay.
8 years in. It took us 8 years.
Wow. So you really bootstrapped it for seven, 8 years.
We bootstrapped, didn't we, Lily?
Yeah. I mean, we ended up putting a mortgage on our house at one point. We really went all in with this business.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. Now, Lily, I imagine that you've got a big corner office with a big desk. And you call your mom in periodically for performance reviews. But what else is your day like? What's a typical day like for you?
A typical day, I really have to prioritize my time because I take really challenging classes at school. And I'm really trying to manage my business and with schoolwork. So in order to maximize my time, I have an internship where every day at 1:30 I leave school and I go to work at the office, and I can work for as long as I need to so I can get all of everything I need to get done. You know, I will say that I use up a lot of my sick days at school because I go to public school and they're so rigid about absences. So I really sometimes have to stretch the truth on where I am with regards to the business and whether I'm sick or not. So, yeah, it's challenging, but it's a lot of time management and prioritization.
Well, if I have to write you a note for being on the show today, I'm happy to do that.
You know, the joke about that, by the way, is, as she said, when we leave school and we have to go do pitches or, you know, land accounts, she's taking a day off school, but she's going to meet with the executives at Walmart. So that's a pretty good reason to leave school, I think.
I took my daughter out of school once because we had a chance to go to Paris, and I thought the educational value of going to Paris outweighed her being in the fourth grade. So
I would agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Renee, tell me about the day that you woke up and you said, "You know what? I think I'm going to quit my job today, and I'm going to go work with my daughters full time." What was that process like?
Well, I had already taken a break from my career to raise the girls, so I was already in that situation, had a lot of freedom. But I will say, because the business grew so fast and the demands just, it exploded quite quickly, I really didn't have much of a choice. If we were going to go, somebody had to lead and help the girls forward because they were so young. So I've been doing this full time for a long time now.
And also, my mom, she's such an overachiever throughout her whole life. Being at home with two kids, I think she was getting really bored. She'd taken up every hobby imaginable. She was gardening. She finally got a part-time job, but I think she was just waiting for something to come along that she could really devote her time and energy into, and that was the business.
I'm really also impressed that your vision for what you want the company to be and the impact that you want the company to have seems really fully formed. A lot of entrepreneurs, particularly successful ones, are just overwhelmed with the growth and keeping their head above water. But you've got this really clear vision for what you want the company to be. Tell us about that.
Well, Lily and I use a quote from Madonna. We want to rule the world. So, you know, that's our plan, and that's always been our plan. So we've always thought big from the beginning, and we're of the mindset, especially as entrepreneurs and creative people, that let's just see what happens. All right, let's plan for it and just expect to be great. We might fall short sometimes, but if you don't set the bar high, you'll never get there. So we just really never limited our thinking, and we had so many people say, you'll never do this, and you'll never get there, and so many people don't make it, and what are you thinking? You can't compete with the P&Gs of the world, and you can't compete with the Cloroxes of the world. And I thought, well, I think there are some things we actually do better than P&G and Clorox, and that is we have an incredibly tight connection with our customer. We know what they want, we listen to what they want, and we can innovate much faster than those behemoths. So we do some things actually better than those organizations, and needless to say, our growth is indicative of our ability to do that.
If you're just joining us, we've got the mother-daughter duo, Renee and Lily Sandler, the founders of Blamtastic. Don't go anywhere. I'm Monty Brule, and this is Start It Up.
We will respond to your questions, so follow us on Twitter at StartItUpGuru. Visit our website, startitup.guru, for more information.
Support comes from Rapid RMS, developing custom point-of-sale systems for retailers, restaurants, and direct sales organizations. Rapid RMS provides iPad and cloud-based solutions, including robust inventory management and reporting. Learn more at rapidrms.com. Support comes from Click, Click, Boom, designing mobile marketing and customer loyalty programs for businesses, nonprofits, and universities. Learn more at clickclickboommobile.com.
How do you communicate with your customers?
Generally speaking, women do a lot of the purchasing for the household. And a lot of these companies that sell these products to women and to young people are run by, I mean, this is a generalization, but old males, elderly males. I don't know how else to put it, but like just old guys. So
a lot older than 16.
Yeah, a lot older than 16. So it just doesn't really make much sense, because who is better to know what these young people and these women want than young people and women? And that's exactly what our company is. We're young people and we're women. So we know exactly what that market wants, and we know exactly how to tailor products that they're going to want and that they're going to be able to buy and enjoy.
You know, I actually have a little something to add to that and how valuable that is to the retailer. We recently had a meeting at one of the biggest retailers in the world. When we finished up our meeting with them, they said, listen, we want to talk to you about something. We think that the suppliers in our space are not in tune with the customer and what they want. But we think Blamtastic is, and we would like you to create a new line of products for us. We were so honored that they had interest, and they thought we were connected in that way to the customer, and we're launching that product line. We have 10 new products that are launching next month at Walmart. So it gives you an idea of the trust they have in our company, that we know our customers and that we can create something for them.
There's a line in hip-hop, haters gonna hate. So as successful as you've been, I'm sure there's been a little hateration going on too. Can you tell us about that?
We're pretty lucky in the sense that the only haters out there are those that probably can't do it themselves. and or maybe have tried and quit. For the most part, we've been so fortunate. We've had a lot of support from women around the country who are excited about what we're doing. And frankly, in the industry, we've been really lucky. A lot of doors have been open to us in ways we've heard just don't happen. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's divine intervention or what's going on, but we're pretty fortunate.
As the reigning corporate founder and bigwig at school, what do your friends have to say about that?
I try to keep it on the down low at school. I don't want everybody knowing about it. I mean, there's certain ways that it just kind of comes out. Like I did a TED Talk, and it seems like after that, everybody knew what I was doing. But my closest friends do know all about the business and the magnitude that it is, and they're very, very supportive of me. I have a really good group of inner core friends who are always there for me, and they're just really great people. And they love the free lip balm, and they're always very supportive of everything I've done.
I know that some of your core values are that you want to manufacture in the United States, that you would like to empower women whenever you can, that you'd like to source organically. And you've got the Blamtastic Legacy Foundation that also supports various initiatives. Describe some of that activity for me.
Well, as a whole, the company, our core values really were developed very early on in the business. Obviously, if we were going to do this, we wanted the girls to learn something from it. And I think, you know, as a company, we always knew that it just had to be good. We had to live well as a company. We had to give back as a company. We had to be responsible. So there were so many elements of that that were critical to me as a parent to teach the girls about this experience, because you can go out there and make a lot of money, but we wanted to do it right. So that was what our and Made in America, by the way, when we started in 2007, that was not a hot top. Nobody was doing it. And we would go to trade shows, and we made a commitment when we started that we would manufacture here. And I know it's a very complex issue on why we lost manufacturing in this country. But nonetheless, I just felt there was no effort by any of these suppliers to even try. They said, well, everyone's doing it over there. So we knew we were going to do it. I don't know what was in vogue, but we knew we were going to do it. And now this huge resurgence of, companies sourcing here has followed. So we're just so glad we were on the front end of it. And now with the Walmarts of the world and all of the National Retail Federation is, they have huge movements and initiatives around Made in America. Well, we were already there, so.
You've already talked about assembling a team. After just the fear of diving into the pool and getting started, many entrepreneurs say that the most difficult thing about running a company is managing employees. How have you learned how to do that, and what's your strategy for hiring?
We have a very tight-knit special team at Blamtastic, who's a team of maybe six really important essential people to our company who help us. We have a salesperson, we have a graphic designer, we have an administrative assistant, and in the office we all collaborate to make sure that everything is getting done and that we're moving in the right direction as a company. And in addition to that, we also have employees coast to coast. We outsource a lot, so we really have an entire nation of people that contribute to our company, all the way from California over to the Northeast. And it's a really great team that we've surrounded ourselves with.
It sounds like Blamtastic is really a family, and the company succeeds because of that, but I'm sure you've got quite a family behind you at home as well. Tell me about the role Dad has played in this, Lily.
First of all, he's the best, and he was our primary investor for the first 6 years or so, and he really has put everything aside to help support us in every way that we can. When we were still working out of our basement in the very beginning, he was always the guy to go to the UPS store for us. He hauled so many boxes, I can't even count. And he's just always been really supportive. And I think it's been because my mom used to be the stay-at-home mom, and he was working full-time But once my mom started up with the business, he kind of, you know, stepped back with his job, and he became the stay-at-home soccer dad. So he really stepped up in that way, and he's been really great throughout this whole process. I know it hasn't been easy for him, but he's been there.
Now, if our listeners would like to learn more about Blamtastic, how can they do that?
We have a website. It's www.blamtastic.com. And that has links to all of our other websites, like the Blamtastic Legacy Foundation and other things like that.
Well, it sounds like you're really doing great work and creating a lot of good along the way. And that's really commendable. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Oh, thank you. It's our
pleasure. Thank you for having us, really.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. I know that my mom was a huge inspiration to me when I was a child, and it was such a pleasure to talk to Lily Sandler and her mom, Renee, because they are quite the pair, along with Lily's sister, Melanie. I hope you are as inspired as I am. Started Up is a production of Be a Grizzly Media. Our executive producer is Suzanne Burnham. And remember, if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly. Come on.